Let's not forget, it's not just what goes on up here every Sunday, but also in the tech room, we also have children and youth helping out back there, so give them a hand for what they're doing. You kind of can't see them behind the computer screen back there, but they are back there. Yeah, so we want to welcome you here to our family, we call it Family Sunday, some call it Children and Youth Sunday, but basically it means that the children and youth are involved in the service, they're involved in greeting, they're involved in the worship team, involved in tech room, involved in reading scripture, involved in doing skits, just involved in every possible way, and so we like to have them involved. And I like these services, as you know, those of you who have been here for these services before know that I love engagement because I can't stand the fact, the whole idea of being a minister and standing up in front of people all the time and speaking, I can't stand it if I don't think that somebody is paying attention. So I've seen people fall asleep. You don't need to raise your hand if you're one of them, but I've also seen people, whisper, chat with one another. I've also seen people on their phone telling me they're looking up the scripture when probably they were doing something else. I don't know if I've ever seen this for sure, but I'm almost positive that somebody, or at least a couple people, maybe three, have been sitting right beside each other, texting each other. You know how I know that? Because I'm guilty of that myself. I've done it before, too, in certain events that I've been to also. But anyway, I like engagement. So for this time, I want you to just, I want to have your undivided 100% attention, especially the children and youth. If you are a child and if you are a youth, please raise your hand. Okay, not everybody's being honest. Please raise your hand. Not everybody's being honest. Please raise your hand. Please raise your hand. Okay, a young man, how's that? There you go, okay, it's up, okay. Thank you, okay. And, oh no, you're not going? Oh, she's too old for that now. Yes, children and youth, so basically all of you who raised your hand and who didn't raise your hand, who are the children and youth, I want your 1,000% undivided attention, which is nothing more than what we ask of you every single time, which I'm sure you're going to do it because every single time all of you do it, correct? Nod your heads. Yes. And I'm also going to ask the same of the adults because I know you do the same thing, right? 1,000%, you're on the edge of your seat, you just can't wait, you're just like, what's he going to say next, right? That's all you care about, right? We have a lot of engagement, a lot of things we're going to be doing today. So I want to talk a little bit about the scripture before we get into some other things. So basically, this is the book of any children and youth. Anybody, tell me what the name of this Bible book is. All right, very good. Okay, good. Now this is the second book written by the same author. What was the other book this author wrote? Yes. Yes, very good. So Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So he also addressed both books to the same person. Who can tell me this name, the name of this person? Children and youth, anybody? The answer is like right in front of you there. Oh, yes, very good. Theophilus, yes, give him a hand. Good job, Liam. Theophilus, and he said it perfectly. I like to call him Theo at times just so we can get through it. But Theophilus is a very interesting word. And the reason it's an interesting word is because down through the ages, generations, people have studied, they've researched, they've debated, and still to this day, no one knows who Theophilus is. Some believe it was a group of people he was writing to, or it might have been one individual person, but nobody knows who he was. That's something that they've been debating. But we're going to solve it today. No, I'm just joking. We're not. So he's writing to Theophilus, and you see what he's writing in this first book. He says at the very beginning, he says, "In the first account I composed." Now, what is that first account? Anybody? Yes! Give that man the prize, Bob, right there, the guy right there in the back. Give him the prize. Yep. There you go. There it is. He got it. He got the prize. Yeah, he caught it. That's good. All right. Yeah. So, yes, in his former book, it was the Gospel of Luke. Now he's writing the book of Acts. So what is the main difference? Can anybody tell me what is the main difference between the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles? Children and youth, that is. Anybody? You got anything? The name. Very good. I got to give a prize out for that one. Very good. All right. besides the name? Holy Spirit. Very good. Anything else? Yes. The number of verses. Very good. It's different. Yes. It's not exactly the same. Thank you. Right? Anything else? How many words there are? Very good. You guys are siblings, aren't you? I wonder if that's, yeah. Any other differences between Luke and Acts? Okay, what was the main event that took place at the end of the Gospel of Luke? The main event. I mean, this is the big deal. Adults, I know you're holding it in. Just hold it in. Keep biting your tongue. We're not asking you. Just the children and youth. The main event at the end of the Gospel of Luke, the big deal, what was it? Children and youth, anybody? Anybody? He's almost, you're like, you're going to say something. You're going to say it? You're going to spit it out? No, you're not? Okay. All right. The resurrection! Bob, another prize over here. She gets the prize. Yes. The resurrection. Yes. So Jesus died in the Gospel of Luke at the end. And then he came back to life. He was resurrected. And that was the powerful thing. So Jesus meets with the disciples, and he tells them to go wait for him. And then we get in the book of Acts, and what happens here at the beginning of the book of Acts, later on in the first chapter, Jesus ascends into heaven after he gives the instructions to the disciples, and he disappears. So what we don't have in the book of Acts is Jesus. Am I right? Now, adults, please, don't. Children and youth, is Jesus in the book of Acts? Yes or no? Nee, 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 nee. Did somebody say yes? What's that? Yes and no. Oh, good answer, good answer, good. Always a good answer, right? That's always, it's the easy way, you know? Yes and no, that way you're right both ways, right? Yeah, but it's true, I see what you're saying, because you remember later on in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 7, we have a guy by the name of Saul. Saul's coming through on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden he falls down and he's blinded, and then somebody says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, who you persecute. So Jesus actually is in the book of Acts, but not just in that sense, because we're talking about the difference between Jesus being physical and Jesus being spiritual. So basically they had Jesus physical in the Gospel of Luke, but in the book of Acts we have the Holy Spirit, which is basically the definition of the Holy Spirit is Jesus without a body, which is why we can have Jesus today even though we don't see him. That's important. I want you to remember that because that's very important for what we're getting into today. We can know Jesus today even though we don't see him. The reason that's important is because I've had several people say to me, why should I pray to somebody I can't see? Now, if he would show himself to me, then I would pray, then I would believe. But why should I pray to somebody that I can't see? So before I go any further, you know this was going to happen. So Brenda, come on up. You knew this was going to happen. Jen, come on up, you know. You know, they act like they don't want to come up here, but they tell me every time we have one of these services, is there any way you could call me up, right? Every single time, please, they're begging me, you know? So anyway, you know, usually what I do is I have them choose different volunteers, and then we come up with teams and all that. So instead of choosing today, we're going to do something a little bit different, okay? Did your blood pressure just go up? Okay. Did your anxiety go up at all? Yeah, okay. All right. So, but basically what we're going to do, instead of volunteers, everybody who's under Brenda in the middle school and high school is going to come on this side up here right now. And Brenda said so, so you have to do it. And everybody who's with Jen comes over, come over to her side, right? Now, no cheating. Don't make sure you go to the right side. All right, now. Wow. Wow, okay. Now, they're still coming. They're still coming. Yeah, look at these guys. One year out of high school, and like, I'm not going up. I'm too big now. Yeah. All right, okay. Hey. That. All right. Stop talking. Undivided attention. 1,000% attention. Okay, all right. So now Brenda and Jen, you're going to, whoa. I'm sorry, sir, you're on the wrong side. We just planned that skit, just so you know. That's just. So Brenda and Jen, I'm giving you a something you have to do before we go any further. Okay? You guys have to do this, and you guys have to put your heads together, figure this out. You guys have done this many years. You've thought together. You've come up with decisions and made up your minds about things. And so you two need to come up with one person, only one total from both, just one person that's going to stand here and be our guest of honor today. No, just one. Just one. Total. One total. So you two need to discuss who that's going to be. Just one. Hey. There. Close the lips. They're doing it. Maybe you didn't hear what I said. Excuse me. Yes. All right, let's start the Jeopardy theme, guys. Nee, 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 nee. Birthday. When is your birthday? April 10th. Wait, we got to have this. Say that again.
April 10th.
Tell everybody your name again, please, so they know.
Nadia.
Here we go. Everybody ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nadia. Happy birthday to you. All right. Thank you for volunteering, by the way. Yes, I appreciate your willingness to come up here. Are you glad that you're here?
Yes.
Are you glad that you're right here?
Yes.
Are you glad that you were chosen?
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Are you concerned?
A little bit.
A little bit. Okay. All right, this is what I want to do. There's going to be a word up there that I'm going to put on the slide in just one moment. And what's going to happen is we're going to read this word together. And if anybody knows what this word is already, please don't spoil it. That includes you guys. Nobody spoil it. Just keep your mouth shut if you already know. And we're going to find out if Nadia is actually guilty of doing this. Okay? All right. So, here is the word. Say that, please.
I don't want to say that.
Say it.
Herkel-Dirkling.
Say it again. I didn't hear it. Herkel what?
Dirkling.
Herkel-Dirkling. Say that. Can you guys say that? Herkel-Dirkling?
Herkel-Dirkling.
Can you guys say it? Herkel-Dirkling? Herkel-Dirkling. Very good. Very good. Whole crowd, please, everybody. Herkel-Dirkling. Now, some of you're wondering, what in the world? Trust me, this is going somewhere, so don't leave. Okay, so you need to talk with your group to decide if she's guilty of this, even though they probably don't know what this is. Okay, so talk with them. They need to decide. You as well, and do not give any hints of what it is. Yeah, no, you don't say what it is. You just simply ask them if she's guilty. They don't know? We can't even have a courtesy yes or no? We need to have a yes or no. We got to have a yes or no. No, she's not. She's guilty?
Oh.
Yes, if Nadia is. Yes or no? Is she guilty?
Yes.
Okay, are you guys ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? All right. Excuse me. Shh. Thank you. All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. Is Nadia guilty of herkle-durkling? No, they say no. Okay, you?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Now, first of all, before we show the definition, are you guilty?
No.
No. Turn around. Here's the definition of the word. It's from the 19th century, finding yourself still in bed long after it's time to get up. So, do you confess to this?
No.
No, you're not guilty?
Yes,
I am.
You are guilty. Okay, now before anybody says anything, is anybody here out here guilty of that? Now, was anybody guilty of that this morning? Yeah. All right, one last thing. One last thing we're going to use with Nadia here. One last thing. Now, this one you really need to use your imagination for, which I know you guys will have no problem, and you guys will have no problem because you guys are intelligent, you're amazing, you're smart. So, you guys are going to have the job. All right. You guys are going to have the job to prove that Nadia exists. Okay, so get together, come up with your argument. Don't talk to her, talk to her. You guys have to prove that she doesn't exist. Okay, so talk it over. Now, before they go any further, let me ask you, do you exist?
Yes.
Yes, okay, she exists. All right, 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, and one. Okay, first group, you need to prove to me that Nadia exists.
Well, we can see her. We can feel her. We can. She's breathing. She's talking, moving.
Go touch her. We can touch her.
We can. We can touch her.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. Who gets it over here? Oh, boy. You're going to prove that she doesn't exist? All right.
All right. So they're lying. They can't see her now, so she doesn't exist anymore. They're lying. They're going insane. They can't see her.
Is that the argument?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just deny, deny, deny. That's going insane.
That's your whole argument?
Yeah.
All right. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Okay, very good. Let's give them all a hand. Thank you very much. You guys can go back and sit down. All right, so going back to the scripture, we're going back to the book of Acts, and we're talking about what's happening here. And Luke is telling them that in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. But now he's saying that Jesus has come. Jesus met with them. He was with them for 40 days. And you remember last Sunday, we talked about the convincing proofs that were given to prove that Jesus was the Christ. And that the convincing proofs meant that there was no way you could doubt that Jesus was the Christ and that Jesus did die and was resurrected. Jesus proved that to his disciples over 40 days. So then he continues right here, and he says, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Next slide, please. To these he also presented himself alive after suffering many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Next slide. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, because many of us know this story, but this is very interesting. We've talked about this several times because it's interesting. The whole idea of the disciples going and waiting. Jesus told them, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Now, does anybody here like to wait? Does anybody like to wait? No. I'm looking for a show of hands. Anybody? Does anybody get frustrated when you have to wait? Yes. Right? Yeah, you get very frustrated when you have to wait. You don't like to wait. Jesus is telling them to wait, though. And they went and they waited. And you know, the interesting thing is we don't know how long they actually waited. We don't know how long they were there in the upper room. There's some understanding of how long it was. They debated about the actual days. But all we know is it was a long time. And we know that it being a long time, the whole idea was they were just obeying what Christ said. Now, here's a question for you. Why did they do that? Think about that one for a minute. Why did they waste their time and go and wait? Yes. Because God told them to. Absolutely. It's very simple. Jesus told them to do it, so they went and they did it. They were just simply being obedient, regardless of what it entailed, regardless of what happened. They just simply went there and they waited. They didn't know how long they were going to wait. They didn't even know what they were waiting for. They didn't even know what was going to happen next. They were just simply being obedient. Which means we know then that the reason they went and waited was because they knew that Jesus was in fact who he said he was. They knew that. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that he was the Son of God. They knew that he conquered death. They knew that he was crucified and he rose from the dead. See, because the problem is doubts come into our lives all the time. And you think about all the things that we doubt. All the things around us that we doubt. We are taught, as I've said before here, we are taught to doubt. Our culture just teaches us and ingrains in us to doubt. They hardly ever teach us to believe. It's always to doubt. Everything is second guessing, because every time something comes up and we watch something, whether it's social media, whether it's on the news, whatever, every time there's an interview or somebody says something, there's always somebody else that comes in and goes, no, that's not true. He's not telling you the truth. Let me tell you really what's happening. And by doing that, they're instilling doubt in everyone. And what happens when you have doubt, when you live with doubt, you just start living the way you desire to live, just to survive, just to make sure you get through, and you just simply doubt and you don't trust. That's the difference with what the disciples were doing. The disciples were willing to do whatever Jesus said, because during those 40 days, he showed them convincing proofs that he was the Son of God and that he was the Messiah and that he conquered death. And because they waited, the Holy Spirit came and they went out and preached and brought in 3,000 people so that they would be saved. So I want to ask you this question today. We did this with Nadia. We were joking around with that. But you know, we actually did that when I was in philosophy class in college. In philosophy, we actually debated about how do you prove that somebody exists? Or actually, one of the things was they would put a chair in front of us and say, can you prove to me that that chair is there? How can you prove to me that it's there? And we go through all of those crazy discussions that many of you think are crazy, but I like those kind of discussions. But it's kind of like what they said. It's obvious. I mean, she's there. We can touch her. We see her. She's breathing. We know she exists. The other ones had a good argument, but they had to add something to their argument for complete denial, which means surrounding her, making sure she couldn't be seen, meant that she no longer was there. However, we all know that that's not always the case. Because many times, just because we're not seen doesn't mean we're not there, right? Especially when we're herking-dorkling, right? Especially when we're in bed and we're supposed to be up. Sometimes we're not even seen at all, are we? Blankets over the head. Especially when the parent comes in and says it's time to get up. Somehow the blanket always makes its way up here. Like somehow that tells your parents, I'm not here, right? But it doesn't work, does it, right? But you're still there. So the question of today is, how many of us truly believe in God? And if that is the case, how many of us truly believe in Jesus? Because I can stand up here with Nadia or whoever, and I can do what they did, and I can surround her and make sure she's not seen. I can do every argument possible saying that she doesn't exist, but whatever argument I come up with does not change the reality that she does exist. So I can say there's no God, but that doesn't change the fact of whether there's a God or not. See, I can come up with any argument and explain away anything, but it doesn't change the fact of what reality actually is, which is what's happening here with the disciples. The disciples are waiting and waiting for the Holy Spirit because Jesus told them to. And why are they doing that? Because they know that Jesus is God. They know he's the Messiah, and they know he conquered death. Did you ever think about how much your belief in God affects everything you do? I want you to think about that, especially children and youth today. Think about your belief in God, how much that impacts every single thing you do. It's not just a separate thing where, well, I believe in God, but it doesn't affect my life, or I believe in God, it doesn't mean this, or I believe in God, but it doesn't have much to do with that. I mean, we're not in church, right? I mean, this is during the week. It's not like I'm in my religious life right now. We go to church on Sundays. That's when we go to church, and Wednesday nights. Okay, I believe in God then. I'll come to church for a couple hours, and I'll believe in God. I'll come to kids' clubs, and I'll believe in God then, because, well, hey, why not? Believe in God, you get candy, right? You believe in God, you get food. Like today, we have a picnic. Believe in God, hey, like they say, if you feed them, they will come, right? Hey, you buy out. Sure, I'll believe in God. You see, we laugh about that, but they did that with Jesus. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Remember after he fed those 5,000 men plus women and children? They wanted to make him king. Why do you think they wanted to make him king? Hey, he fed us. Why wouldn't we make him king, right? So I ask you today about, do you believe in God or not? Because the reason I'm asking it that way is because your belief in God actually affects every single thing you do. You can't separate, well, I believe in God, but this is my life. No, if you believe in God, it actually impacts your life. So the exercise I typically do is if I talk to somebody and if they tell me that they believe in God, but they're not a fanatic or they're not nuts or they're not extreme like I am or whatever however they want to put it, I would say, okay, tell me what God is it that you believe in? That's the first thing. If you believe in God, what God is it? Tell me about him. Who is he? And then usually we get to the point where we ask, well, is he the God of the Bible? Well, yes. I believe in the God of the Bible. So you believe in the God of the Bible? Yes, I believe in the God of the Bible. Okay, so if you believe in the God of the Bible, then you must believe that Jesus is God. Well, I didn't say that. Well, it says in the Bible that Jesus is God. So if you believe in the God of the Bible, then you believe that Jesus is God. Well, I guess you're right. Okay, so if you believe Jesus is God, then that must mean that you should obey what he says. Well, I didn't say that. Well, but you just said you believe in the God of the Bible, which teaches that Jesus is God, and if Jesus is God, you must obey what Jesus says. Well, I guess you're right. So then if you believe in the God of the Bible, and you believe in Jesus, and you believe that Jesus is God, and you should obey what Jesus says, then that must mean that the God that you believe in, you have to surrender your entire life to him. Oh, I didn't think about it that way. See, I always thought it was just a belief, what I do on Sundays, what I do on Wednesdays because I get food, but I didn't think about it actually affecting my life and my behaviors. And I didn't think about it how it goes along with how I talk, the words I say, how I talk to my parents, my attitude, how I live my life. Because Jesus actually taught that there was a way to live, and this is what that means. And so what's happening here, guys, with the disciples is that there's something brand new that's taking place. You see, up until this time, they didn't know what this meant, right? Which many of you probably have been in that place, or maybe you're in that place right now. They were in that place. They didn't understand. They didn't get this. I mean, would you get this? Think about what happened to the disciples and tell me if you would have got this, okay? Some guy comes along and calls you and says, hey, come follow me. You leave everything to follow him, and then you think he's the king. He's going to set up a throne, and what happens? You're following him around, and everywhere this guy goes, he gets you into trouble. That's what happened with the disciples, everywhere he went. That's why the disciples are like, Jesus, could you tone it down? The Pharisees can hear you. They're getting upset. Could you please stop? Jesus, would you please stop? What are you doing? And here he's breaking their law again. Oh, somebody tell him. Jesus, don't you get what's happening? And look at what people are looking at us now. Look at what's taking place. And now all of a sudden, now he's going to die. Now he goes to the cross and he dies. And we see that he's dead. Now we're scared to death, locked in a room. Does that make any sense to you? No. So they didn't understand. What is this? Now, the next thing, what do? Go there, wait 40 days. 40 days for what? How long? But you're still supposed to wait. But this was the beginning of something brand new in their life that they never dreamed was going to take place. You see, they thought Jesus was there just to fulfill their needs. They thought Jesus was there just to feed them. They thought Jesus was there just to be the king and make them great and make everybody else dirt. They had no idea that Jesus for them was something so much bigger. Because right after this, Peter stands up and preaches one of the greatest sermons throughout the history of Christianity that has ever been preached before. Peter, who denied Christ, Peter, who put his foot in his mouth, Peter, who always messed up, Peter, who never did anything right, all of a sudden he's full of the Holy Spirit and he's a complete different person. I believe God wants to do that in your life today. I believe he wants to do something new. Your life. I truly believe that what he wants to do is he wants to take wherever you are in your walk with Christ, however, whatever you believe in about him, he wants you to take you to the next level. So maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I don't believe in this God stuff. This stuff doesn't make any sense. I don't believe God exists. And I, just like the guy that said that to you, Chad, I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see him. You know what? God wants to show you himself today so that you can go to the next level and be a believer in him. And you might be here today and you might say, well, I already am a believer. I believe God exists. Yeah, but Jesus wants to take you to that next level. He wants to take you deeper in your walk with him, whatever that might mean. It might mean you have to give something up that you know that he's talked to you about. It might mean there's a temptation that you've been falling into that he's been telling you over and over and over, you shouldn't fall into that temptation. I've given you every way out of it. It might mean that you need to change how you talk. It might mean you need to change your attitude. It might mean you need to change your personality. It might mean you need to forgive. Stop holding that grudge. Whatever it might be in your life, there are several different examples of what it could possibly be. I am convinced Jesus wants to take you to that next level. Because Jesus doesn't want to leave you where you are. He wants to take you to that next. The same thing he did with the disciples. They're waiting in the room. Holy Spirit comes. Boom. They're on the next level. That's why the whole issue about does he exist? Does he not exist? And we have debates, and we've had history of debates over this thing and about whether he exists or not. I just want to come right out and just say it. And you could disagree. That's fine. You can disagree with me. Many people disagree, and that's fine. Nothing against disagreeing. Nothing. But come on, folks. Seriously. I want you just to stop and think about it for a moment. Every single person in this place right now in this moment, just think about it. Has he really? Let me put it this way. Are you really saying he has not revealed himself to you? Are you really saying he's not real? Because hasn't he already shown you that he is? And chances are he's done it more than once. Chances are he's done it multiple times to the point where he might even be saying, what else do I have to do? I have shown you who I am. Why do you continue to claim that I don't exist? Why do you continue to claim that I'm not real? What else can I do to show you that I am? This is why Paul said in Romans, he said, does not the very nature of things teach you that God exists. So in Paul's words, don't you dare tell me you haven't seen God. Or don't you dare tell me you're not going to pray to somebody you can't see. You see God every day. But Paul says, what do you mean I see him every day? Look out your window. The very nature of things teaches you that he's there. The reason why this is so important, guys, children and youth, is because you are at that age, and I know you've heard this before, you probably get tired of hearing it, but many people have talked about that during this age, this is when you make commitments and you make decisions that are going to affect you for the rest of your life. That's why they always tell us ministers that anybody over a certain age, it's going to be difficult to convert them, but God does miracles. It doesn't mean that can't happen, but it does mean that at this moment in time, right now, God is asking you and God is encouraging you to go to that next level, whether that means that you just simply believe in him or whether that means you go to the next level where you're deeper in him or whether you say, Jesus, forgive me because I sinned, or whether that means, Jesus, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to fix my attitude. My words are going to change. I'm going to be what you want me to be. Or maybe it is, Jesus, I'm going to be in your word more. Jesus, I'm going to be more serious about this. As has been said a long time ago, somebody stood up and said, when I came to know Christ and I gave my life to him, I made one commitment and I said, I'm not interested in playing church. And the sad part is, there are many people, routinely, who just play church. What does that mean? Well, they come in, they stand when we say to stand, they sit when we say to sit. They pray when we pray. They sing when we sing. They even on the worship team, possibly, even whatever. All the different things that you were involved in today. All the different ways you're involved in the church. But if you haven't committed your life to Christ and you haven't gone to that next level, you're just simply playing church. But something's missing. It's not real. So this is what I want to ask you to do today. In closing, I want to ask you to do this. Before the worship team comes up, and the worship team, I don't want you to come up yet. I want you to wait until after I pray before you come up, because the reason I do that is because I want everybody involved in this kind of prayer. You know, I don't want anybody to come up to the worship team and think, well, I wasn't a part of that prayer. I don't want you to even be thinking about the song you're going to close with right now. Just get that out of your mind right now. And the ones who are up back in the tech room as well, I want you just to stop thinking about the tech issues right now and just think about this prayer that we're going to have together. I just want to ask everyone just to bow their heads right now. And I don't know where you are in your life with Christ, but I know where he wants you to be. And I also know that he's done everything he can to show you who he is. And I believe that right now in this moment, Jesus is revealing himself to you in a way you have never seen him before. And I believe that right now in this moment, he is speaking to you in a way you have never heard him speak before. And I believe right now he's asking you, do you want to go to that next level? Do you want to go deeper in your walk with me? Do you want to take this thing seriously? Do you want to stop playing church? So right now in this moment, in your heart, in everyone's heart right now, doesn't matter where you stand with God, right now in your heart, if you would just say these words, just say, Jesus, show me what this means. And he will be faithful to do so. And right now in this moment, nothing wrong with this at all. If there's anybody here with the heads bowed, anybody here who would just say, Chad, you know what? I just want to be prayed with. It could be for whatever reason. It could be the fact that you want to believe in God. It could be the fact that there's something you're struggling with. It could be the fact that you just want to go deeper. It could be the fact that you want to stop playing church. Whatever it might be, if there's anybody here with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just slip your hand up and say, Chad, that's me. Chad, I just need to be prayed for today. For
for whatever reason it might be, just and raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over. And right now in this moment, I just want to ask him, those who raised your hand, we're here for you, and we're also here for those who didn't. It doesn't mean you had to, but specifically for those who raised your hand, if you would want to come out of your seat and come down here and kneel in the front here, we will pray with you. And before we even get to the closing song, we just want to make sure we pray with you for whatever you need prayed for. And and this goes, like I said, not just for those who raise their hands, but would you want to come down right now, and then we'll move on to the closing song and do everything else that we planned. Anybody wants to come down? You can kneel up here, you can kneel on the seats, wherever you want to go.